Who knew that a ranger walk about geology could be transcendent? Well, truth be told, me, probably. The love of rocks was one of the reasons why I spent an ill-fated year at Cal in mineral engineering. But that year is part of another sermon. Not all of my family share said love of rocks, but they were all willing to go along as part of a trip we took to Yosemite. It was the middle of the winter that we never had last year. You remember that one? And during the boys' midwinter break, we headed up to the Yosemite Valley. After hiking and ice skating and snowshoeing, we decided to take part in said ranger walk about the geological forces that shaped and still shape the Great Valley. And so it was that we were introduced to the realm of deep stone. The initial clue that this was going to be a different kind of a ranger walk was that the first words of the walk spoken by the ranger to a group of 15 or 20 of us strangers was, "Come closer." We all laughed nervously and took maybe a quarter step closer to the center of the circle. Then after a long pause, "Come closer still." This time we might have actually taken a half step. And then, over the course of the next hour, we found ourselves slowly, marvelously immersed in the wonder and mystery of creation, led by a ranger named Shelton Johnson. A poet by training and a naturalist by curiosity, Johnson led us into revelation. Through Chaucer and through Greek myth and by honest-to-God wonder, Shelton Johnson revealed to all of us the stunning beauty and the ongoing creation, the sacred generativity of Yosemite. And I mean all of us, children to elders, were drawn close by his love of language, of English and of Latin and of others, his lyrical descriptions, his palpable experience of the transcendent. He taught us through story, through well-honed metaphor, through his very being. I mean, after the walk, right, this was an hour with people of all ages. We spent even more time with him, asking questions, listening to stories, learning as much as we could about this realm of the deep stone. Now, if you'd asked Shelton Johnson 45 years ago if when he grew up, if he would like to be a park ranger in Yosemite and a scholar of the Buffalo Soldiers, he might have thought that you had lost your mind. You see, he grew up in inner city Detroit in the 1960s. And as he describes it, the times that Shelton Johnson saw a mountain range were confined to a television or a movie screen. And as he grew older, he wasn't a biology or a geology major. He found himself drawn to poetry, which led to a bachelor's in English Lit. And his first entrance into a national park? Well, that came while he was working on a master's degree in poetry, which, as he says, doesn't exactly throw open the doors of job opportunity. Like any good master's student, he was looking for work, and Shelton Johnson saw an ad for some seasonal work carrying the mail at Yellowstone National Park. Not a problem, he thought. This will at least be a quiet place where I can write. But something moved him when he got off the bus in Gardner, Montana, at the north entrance to the park, almost quite literally, because when he got off the bus, in front of him was a bison. And Shelton Johnson's words, "As I was stepping down onto the ground, there was a bison, a 2,000-pound animal, walking by. There was no one else around. And the bison was just strolling by. I looked up at the driver and I said, "Does this happen all the time?" And he looked at me and said, "All the time." And I said to myself, "I have arrived." Here's the funny thing about vocation. When you find it, or more accurately, when you look for it and it is revealed to you, it's like a beacon. Other people are able to see and know through you. Because in that finding, who you are, how you are, can be revelatory itself. Now, a word about finding. In our text from the Gospel according to John, both the passage for this morning and the verses that lead up to it, the translators use this word, find. But the actual word in Greek carries much more than our English can allow. For the word horisko, it can be translated as learning the location of something, either by intentionally searching or by unexpected discovery. Or learning something previously not known, frequently involving an element of surprise. Unexpected discovery, the element of surprise. Because who saw a kid from inner city Detroit with a love of poetry becoming a park ranger? Shelton Johnson didn't, at least at first. It was over decades that he began to pair his love of words with a wonder about the natural life around him. It was year after year that he began to refine the words that could reveal the inner workings within us and around us. And so it was by a kind of a wonderful accident that we found ourselves at his feet last winter. And I have to say that after experiencing this hour with him, it was clear to all of us, child and adult alike, that we were experiencing someone who came alive while describing the number of needles on pine trees and the differences between plutonic and volcanic rock. Somehow, through what seemed to be chance and with the refining of these remarkable gifts of insight, of awareness, of articulation, when Shelton Johnson walks through Yosemite Valley, he shares wonder with anyone who comes near. For when he encounters the wonder of life, when he finds transcendence around him, he is able to reveal it to all who come near. And it is clear. Those who have seen Ken Burns' documentary on the national parks have seen Shelton Johnson describe what it is like to come across a herd of bison in a remote valley in winter in Yellowstone. It's like his whole being shines forth, and what could otherwise be a singular experience is broken open and shared with all. And in the process, like all who have an experience of revelation, of finding what you have been looking for, Shelton's response to it in word and in deed is, "Come and see. Come and see." But unlikely and surprise, these are actually words that are very consistent with my own experience of vocation. Now, I hesitate to use this word vocation because so often when it's used, especially in a setting like this, when someone is wearing clothes like this, we think simply of religious vocation, right? Like a priest or a deacon or a nun or a monk. And that certainly is a classic definition. But the root of vocation, the Latin vocare, is about something being called forth. And it can be and should be used at any point in a person or in a community's life. It can be about profession, as in the case of Shelton Johnson, but it is essentially about offering one's whole self at any time, and often in the most unlikely of ways. Now, you may have heard me quote the author Gail Godwin from her book Evensong. Sharing a part of a letter from a friend, she writes, "Your vocation is what keeps making more of you. Your vocation is what keeps making more of you." In this way, vocation is generative. When you find it, again, this language is imperfect, right? Because sometimes we are found by it. But when you find it, it's like you cannot help but say, "Come and see." It makes more of you in ways that are visible to those around you. In fact, when you are close to a vocation, when something is shifting for you or coming forth, it may be seen by others before you yourself can recognize it or find it in yourself. And I have to say, there is a distressing sense that I've encountered over the years, and it has to do with people like me using words like this in a place like this, right? Because oftentimes I found that vocation is something that happens to other people. Well, that's what we often think. In truth, finding ourselves in places where we make more of ourselves, and therefore the people around us, this happens at all stages and ages of life. It happens in ways that we might not at first recognize. The theologian Douglas John Hall has written this about those who influenced him in ways large and small in his life. He writes, "These people are not public figures, but ordinary folk, old ladies and gentlemen of my youth, people in the various workplaces of my life, members of my one and only congregation, and of course my students and colleagues of more than four decades in academic life. But most of these people did not know they were giving me gifts of insight and support, affirmation and critical acumen. But they were simply being who they were and doing what they do. Every one of us," he writes, "every one of us plays the role of giver wittingly or unwittingly in relation to all whom we meet. And if we know this about ourselves, we may be inspired to pay a good deal more attention than otherwise to the way that we are with one another, the things we say to one another, the deeds we do and leave undone. It's my firm belief that for each of us, every one of us, Christ is waiting, leading, guiding, waiting for to be found." And now this may be at our work. Maybe in a troubled relationship. Maybe in school, in a class. Maybe with a friend near the end. But what happens is more of you is made. Of this you can be sure. And it is just as true for communities as well as individuals. Communities can find or often be surprised by the vocation that is being called forth from them. And friends, guess what? Now is such a time for All Souls Parish. We are listening for how we are to act upon the vision we have received. And what I know to be true is that around us, within us, a new vocation is emerging. We will have to pay close attention, as Rebecca Ganadon reminded us during our Advent series, watching for the things out here. And often we pay attention right here, but these vocations emerge from here, right? Preparing ourselves for this unexpected discovery is our work. Always asking this question, what makes more of us? What makes more of us? Not for our own purpose, simply so that we can become larger, stronger, faster. No. What makes more for us for the sake of those around us? Again, I trust that it is here for us to find, to be found by. Come close. Come closer still. Follow me.